Welcome back to the Darting Through the Faith podcast. I'm Father Sean Wilson, and with me is Julia Monin.
Hi, Father Sean.
Hey, howdy. Sorry, I was telling you beforehand that I've had so much coffee today and that I'm a little jittery. So yeah. For all the listeners and viewers back home.
I think it was just last episode, honestly, that we were talking about your coffee consumption. It was the episode first time you were back from vacation. Anyway, we were talking about there's a fine balance between mm-hmm. being droopy and being jumpy, and you are past the jumpy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it appears so. I'm going to try and dial it back, but we'll see.
Eyeballs are
jumpy. Yeah, eyeballs, yeah.
Tongue can't keep up.
That's right.
Well, you know, it's a beautiful day. By the time this podcast is being released, it's going to be July 1st, which is a big day.
Startling.
And it's a big day in this archdiocese.
It is.
Isn't it?
Yeah, it's called Musical Chair Day, the Feast of the Holy Musical Chairs. Everybody stands up and you got to rush to find a place to sit down.
And if there's no chair for you, you're the winner. No, yeah. I'm kidding. That's a joke. Yes.
Happy retirement to all of our priests that are retiring on June 30th, July 1st. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So thank you for your service.
Mm-hmm. Yes, seriously.
And to all those who are beginning a new assignment, mm-hmm. may the Lord bless you.
Amen. What mm-hmm. about those like you who are maintaining an assignment?
We'll just continue to fly under the radar.
You think you're doing that?
I think so.
Okay, good. Yeah. Okay, well, yeah. You know.
You don't know me.
I don't. Right? Right? I don't want to burst any bubbles today. So
Great.
So we're just going to pretend that.
I don't know.
That's fine. But anyway, sure. It is a big day. Lots of changes happening. Yeah. But, you know, the Lord will be with us.
Yeah, he always is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He'll provide. He'll be with us. And I pray it'll bear great fruit for the kingdom. I know mm-hmm. it will, right?
Yeah.
It will. Yeah.
The Lord's not going to abandon his people now. He hasn't done that ever. We've done a good job of abandoning him.
Oof, yeah.
Kicking and screaming and crying and mm-hmm. Looking at ourselves. Mm-hmm. So the old navel gazing,
mm-hmm.
that's our belly button. We stare at it because we look at ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Did you need me to spell that out?
I didn't, but I do appreciate that you assumed that I would need you to. So thank you.
I figured somebody out there. I didn't think you did, but I figured somebody. Uh-huh. Well, and that's probably bad. I think everybody knows what their navel is.
I think most people do. It is common. But on a very serious note, all jokes aside, mm-hmm. when I was...
I had this image of you asking, do you have an innie or an outie?
No, but I wish that's what I would know.
Yeah.
And don't answer because I don't want to know. And I, when I was reading this, what we're talking about today, there were a couple paragraphs that in my head I was like, I should probably define that as we're going. I should probably define that word too mm-hmm. as we're going. I should probably define that. Not because I think our readers don't know it, but because it's a word that like I've had to learn over the years. Like it wasn't when I was first like reading about the faith, I'm like, I didn't know what that word was. It was one I had to look up. That one either. So maybe there's other people out there like me. So navel wasn't on that list.
Okay.
But there are other words. Perhaps mm-hmm. we'll bring them up today
that
were on there. So anyway. Anyway, I got nothing else, Padre.
Okay, well, that's actually good. Definitions. It's always good. Defining words.
Right.
For everybody out there in listener land.
Right. Well, do you find that... Well, you probably don't because you like are educated. You're an educated man who spent years in the seminary reading church fathers and all the goodies of the Catholic faith. But for folks like me who haven't done that, we're cradle Catholics... catechized at a time when maybe the catechesis wasn't the great, I'm not talking about in our local church, but just in the church universal as a whole, like some words, I'm like, I should know that word.
What words are we talking about?
But, I don't remember things. Because they're obvious words that you're like, oh, well, everyone knows what, I think one was like patristic, you know, like from the fathers. Yeah. What paragraph was that?
Well, we can get there.
We'll get there.
We will get there. Let's not jump the gun.
Anyway.
We don't want to be jumpy.
Right, we don't.
No.
That's him again trying to calm himself down as he takes another sip of coffee.
Let's pray. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Lord, we give you thanks that you have taught us how to pray. We thank you that you have seen in your great mercy to open up the communication between humanity and divinity through your incarnation. And we ask that you may always draw us closer to the Father in every aspect of our lives, and especially in humility. We pray for all of those who are listening to this podcast. We pray for all of those who are struggling in their prayer lives and those who don't know how to pray and those who are furthest from you. So we pray the prayer Jesus taught us. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
So we are talking about the Our Father today.
We are
in paragraphs,
2759 through 2772, I believe.
Which is the general introduction to the Lord's Prayer, right? Mm-hmm. We're in the prayer section, section 4.
Yep. Yeah. So the prayer section split in two, talking about prayer in general in the first half, mm-hmm. and then the Our Father in the second
okay.
half. So we're the beginning, we're part 4, the second half of that, the beginning of the second half. So part 4 of the catechism.
Part 4.
Right? Creed, uh-huh. sacraments, morality, prayer.
Yep.
We're in part 4, the part on prayer.
Yep.
That is split in half.
Okay.
The first half, prayer in general. Mm-hmm. The second half, mm-hmm. Our Father. We're at the very beginning of that second half.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we are. That's your mm-hmm. that's your map, roughly, of mm-hmm. the catechism
yeah.
and where we are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we're in part 1 of part 2 of part 4 of the catechism.
I'm with you. Right. I'm with you.
Well, I got you. Okay.
Let's do this.
So 2759... Context, the context of where we get the prayer, the Our Father. Jesus was praying at a certain place, and when he ceased, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. In response to this request, the Lord entrusts to his disciples and to his church the fundamental Christian prayer. St. Luke presents a brief text of 5 petitions, while St. Matthew gives a more developed version of 7 petitions. And the liturgical tradition of the church has retained St. Matthew's text, so the more developed with the 7 petitions, which is what we prayed mm-hmm. When we opened up the show today. So Jesus is praying. The disciples are looking on. Mm-hmm. Notice Jesus at prayer with God the Father. And when his prayer ceased, they turn to him and say, teach us. How to right. do that. And this is the prayer we get from our Lord, the Lord's Prayer.
Exactly. And that's in Luke's gospel, where it's this, the it comes from this request of the disciples to, mm-hmm. to pray as Jesus did. In Matthew's gospel, it's the center of the Sermon on the Mount. So it's in the middle of Jesus giving his long sermon, the most famous sermon that he gives this teaching on prayer. And you think, well, which one was it? Which one did Jesus give the Our Father? Right? Was it when the disciples asked to teach us, or was it in the middle of his sermon? And if Jesus is a good teacher, he probably repeats himself,
mm-hmm.
right? So like every good, they say mother is the repetition, or repetition is the mother of all learning.
There you go.
And so if Jesus is going to teach something, he wants those lessons to sink in.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, he's going to say things multiple times.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. And that would absolutely make sense. If this is how he's teaching us to pray, and
right.
this is the prayer he's giving us as the church, the fundamental Christian prayer, which we'll unpack that as we go through mm-hmm. this section as to why that is and how that is, then it makes sense that as they were gathered and teaching, that they would be praying this together,
mm-hmm.
doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Makes sense.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So then continuing in 2760, very early on, the liturgical usage concluded the Lord's Prayer with a doxology. So something at the end of the prayer, right? Okay.
And that gets retained in a lot of non-Catholic traditions. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever.
Mm-hmm.
And so it references, you know, we maybe don't need to go through all the references to the Didache or the Apostolic Constitutions, mm-hmm. but just to know that the Catholic Church retains part of this liturgically in that kind of prayer that we call it the embolism after the Our Father. So the Our Father happens, and then the priest prays his prayer, deliver us, O Lord, we pray from every evil, and graciously grant peace in our days, that one.
Mm-hmm.
And then the people respond, for the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, mm-hmm. now and forever.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where that fits in the Catholic way.
Mm-hmm.
But the prayer that we pray at Mass, the Our Father, that's the part that's in sacred scripture.
Mm-hmm.
And so our non-Catholic brothers and sisters, a lot of times they recite with the tradition hands on, which this is the very ironic thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
When Catholics pray the Our Father, we use what's in the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
And when non-Catholics do, they follow tradition,
mm-hmm.
which adds it, which is really ironic because normally it's Catholics right? like to do the traditional
mm-hmm.
and Protestants are just what's in the Bible. So
mm-hmm.
That's just funny, right? I'm not saying that to like point fingers or anything like that.
Right.
I'm just observing because I get a good chuckle out of it.
You couldn't even say it without like a smile coming off of your face.
I know. It's just the irony, right?
Right.
It's wonderful.
Right. Right. So then this goes on to Article 1, the summary of the whole gospel. The Lord's Prayer is truly the summary of the whole gospel. Since the Lord, after handing over the practice of prayer, said elsewhere, ask and you will receive. And since everyone has petitions which are peculiar to his circumstances, the regular and appropriate prayer, the Lord's Prayer, is said first as the foundation of further desires. And the Lord's Prayer is truly the summary of the whole gospel, the fundamental Christian prayer. Yes? The
right.
Foundation of it all.
And sometimes, though, we think like, well, what's the center of the gospel? That Jesus died for us.
Mm-hmm.
But to remember, that's to get us back to the Father,
mm-hmm.
right? Jesus dies for us and rises from the dead to take us back to the Father's house. So that's why it's a summary of the whole gospel, not the fact that Christ has died, Christ has risen, or something like that, because that's the means through which we're saved and brought back into a right relationship with the Father. So all that Jesus does is trying to restore this relationship between humanity and the Father.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why this is can be the summary of the whole gospel, because it's taking all of us mm-hmm. to pray and restore our relationship, or acknowledge that relationship with the Father, I guess.
Right. Okay, well said. Moving on in a section called At the Center of the Scriptures in 2762, after showing how the Psalms are the principal food of Christian prayer and flow together in the petitions of the Our Father, St. Augustine concludes, run through all the words of the holy prayers in Scripture, and I do not think that you will find anything in them that is not contained and included in the Lord's Prayer. Yeah.
Great. Every good prayer finds its foundation in the
mm-hmm.
Lord's Prayer. And there's mm-hmm. nothing good you could pray for that's not ultimately found in mm-hmm. the Lord's Prayer.
Mm-hmm.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. Okay. Continuing in this same tone, all the Scriptures, the Law, the Prophets, and the Psalms are fulfilled in Christ. The gospel is this good news. Its first proclamation is summarized by St. Matthew in the Sermon on the Mount. The prayer to our Father is at the center of this proclamation. It is in this context that each petition bequeathed to us by the Lord is illuminated. The Lord's Prayer is the most perfect of prayers. In it, we ask not only for all the things we can rightly desire, but also in the sequence that they should be desired. This prayer not only teaches us to ask for things, but also in what order we should desire them. So those last few sentences I was quoting there, St. Thomas Aquinas. So not only the Lord's Prayer not only is the most perfect, and not only does it lay out the things that we can rightly desire, but then the order
right.
that we should desire them. So our Father, who art in heaven.
Honoring him.
Mm-hmm. Hallowed right. be thy name. Eyes on the Father who is in heaven, the kingdom that is to come, right, of which mm-hmm. we are heirs, and hallowed be thy name. And anyway, so then, yeah, that sequence.
And thy will be done before my will,
yes.
right? Thy will be done before, here's my list of what I need, like mm-hmm. our grocery lists that say, actually, whatever you want to give me first of all,
mm-hmm.
Lord. But if you're asking, I'm going to tell you what I want, right? He does
mm-hmm.
say, ask and you'll receive, knock and mm-hmm. the door will be open. So
mm-hmm.
he does want us to ask, but the primary thing is like, but you know, Lord, what I need.
Mm-hmm.
So
right. So
I'll
the whole
accept whatever you give.
The whole first things first type of thing,
mm-hmm.
right? It rightly orders our prayer and our desires. I loved that. And I loved really this next sentence was just so beautifully written. The Sermon on the Mount is teaching for life. The Our Father is a prayer. But in both the one and the other, the Spirit of the Lord gives new form to our desires, those inner movements that animate us. Jesus teaches us this new life by his words. He teaches us to ask for it by our prayer. The rightness of our life in him will depend on the rightness of our prayer. So we have this teaching from him, the Sermon on the Mount. This is the way we are to live. This is the way we are to pray. The righteousness of our life will depend on the righteousness of our prayer. I just loved how that was written there. That's really beautiful.
And sometimes like things get in the Catholic life, they get split apart, right? Well, I love the prayer life of the Catholic Church. And I was like, well, you're also called to live a life, right? And when mm-hmm. somebody strikes you on the other cheek, one cheek, turn the other. And then other people be like, well, I love activity. I love the way the churches serve the poor and social justice and all that sort of thing, which is all well and good,
mm-hmm.
but that has to be connected to a deep prayer life.
Mm-hmm.
And the beautiful thing is the saints give such great examples of this interior life and this active life going hand in hand. Mm-hmm. Mother Teresa maybe being such a great example of somebody who lived just a deep prayer life and living her life towards the Lord, but then also in great charity and great generosity towards others. Mm-hmm. And that's the Sermon on the Mount, right? It's not just behaviors, and it's not just interior movements and desires of the heart. It's both, and mm-hmm. and that's the way it should be for all of us. And all the saints are really can attest to that. Mm-hmm. That charity and love of the Lord and prayer go hand in hand.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So,
amen.
That's the Catholic Church. You know, I don't know. Oftentimes people say it's a both and place, right? Mm-hmm. Is it this or that? Well, it's both. Is Jesus truly God or truly man? Well, he's both.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. happens with our prayer life too.
Yeah, absolutely. So the Lord's Prayer, the traditional expression, the Lord's Prayer, means that the prayer to our Father is taught and given to us by the Lord Jesus. Okay, that makes sense.
Wow.
The prayer that comes...
You know, that's so obvious, yeah. But part of it was like, that was like a light bulb moment for me. Like, yeah. Oh yeah, this is Jesus' prayer. That's how it got the name. Oh, gee whiz.
Gee whiz, that's
seven,
clever.
7 years of theological study got me that one. I mean, I didn't get that in seven years. Yeah,
the life. You had to live
imagine,
the life.
I read that before, but something like the light bulb went off today or uh-huh. yesterday when I was reading this.
So. Wow. Well, praise the Lord for
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I know.
That's
I know.
Good. The prayer that comes to us from Jesus is truly unique. It is of the Lord. On the one hand, in the words of this prayer, the only Son gives us the words the Father gave him. So Jesus, he is the master of our prayer. On the other, as Word incarnate, he knows in his human heart the needs of his human brothers and sisters and reveals them to us. So he is also the model of our prayer, the master of our prayer and the model of our prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the both and.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And that means he gets us, mm-hmm. right? And he knows the desires of a human heart because he's truly human. And so that means he knows how to teach. So he's lived this life. Mm-hmm. And so it's not that God is some distant person out there. It's like, Jesus, how could you really teach me how to pray? Because you don't know what it's like to be human and all of my issues. And he says, yes, I am. I mean, I'm the Word made flesh. I am truly human. Mm-hmm. So that's beautiful. Mm-hmm. But he's not just one of us because he's actually God teaching us how to communicate with God,
mm-hmm.
which is that condescension, right? Like coming down mm-hmm. to meet us and knowing us and our humanity. It's like that. We have to understand the incarnation mm-hmm. if we're going to understand our Catholic faith mm-hmm. and even in our prayer lives.
Mm-hmm. So talking about definitions, I mean, this is flat out embarrassing, but I like incarnation. That mm-hmm. should be a word that I knew what that meant. But
sure.
Early on in my, I'm going to learn more about my Catholic faith
yeah.
days. That was a word I had to go ahead and figure out what that meant. I'm like, I hear that word a lot.
What
does that mean?
Yeah.
Especially at Christmas time.
Yeah.
It gets brought up a lot.
Sure.
What is that? So
for all of our listeners, right? So the carn, right? So that little piece there is basically the root for flesh. So carn, like a carnivore, mm. somebody is a flesh eating animal. So the incarnation is the enfleshment of God. So mm-hmm. God becoming flesh, becoming human and dwelling in our midst.
Mm-hmm.
So for example, that silly song, What If God Was One of Us, right? What
right.
if God
Oh,
was,
you didn't have to sing it.
Right? But yes, I did. So that's silly because that's the heart of the belief of Christianity is that God really did become one of us.
Mm-hmm.
So the enfleshment of God, we celebrate that at Christmas especially, mm-hmm. But it begins at the Annunciation from the very conception of Jesus in Mary's womb because we know life begins at conception.
That's right. Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not. Life does begin at conception.
Oh my goodness. Praise God. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Okay. But Jesus does not give us a formula to repeat mechanically, of course, and that is the argument that you'll hear. You know, we just rattle off the Our Father and our Hail Marys, and we're just being mechanical and rote, mm-hmm. and, you know, where's the heart? So Jesus doesn't give us this as a formula to repeat mechanically. As in every vocal prayer, which we talked about a few episodes ago,
mm-hmm.
it is through the Word of God that the Holy Spirit teaches the children of God to pray to their Father. Jesus not only gives us the words of our filial prayer, at the same time, he gives us the Spirit by whom these words become in us, Spirit and life. Even more, the proof and possibility of our filial prayer is that the Father sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Since our prayer sets forth our desires before God, it is again the Father, He who searches the hearts of men, who knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. So what does this all say? Summarize it in one sentence. The prayer to our Father is inserted into the mysterious mission of the Son and the Spirit. So not just a formula to just be mechanically said. It's mm-hmm. the Son and the Spirit in this mysterious, again, both and combination right. of the two. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
Then it's the prayer of the church, right? Mm-hmm. So it's the Lord's prayer because Jesus gives it to us, but it also becomes the prayer of the church because the church takes ownership of this prayer and uses it in sacred liturgy and public devotions and just when two or three gather in the Lord's name.
Mm-hmm. So the first communities prayed the Lord's Prayer three times a day in place of the 18 benedictions that would have been customary in Jewish piety. We have it rooted in liturgical prayer, which was that last week where we talked about the liturgy and we talked about the divine office?
Oh, we did. Didn't that? Yeah.
So the Our Father plays an integral part of the major hours of the divine office. Mm-hmm. You're always praying the Our Father during those different hours. And what's quoted in this section, the Lord teaches us to make prayer in common for all our brethren, for he did not say, my Father who art in heaven, but our Father, offering petitions for the common body. That is quoting St. John Chrysostom.
I always say that wrong.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Chrysostom.
I'll keep trying.
Yeah. It's like you're, never mind.
Okay. And then we have a section where it talks about the three sacraments of Christian initiation and the, how the Our Father is especially used in those sacraments is central to that.
Right. Yeah. And there's a specific rite in the rite of Christian initiation of adults, the RCIA, mm-hmm. where the people are handed on the Our Father, the Lord's Prayer. I think it's an optional one, but I believe it's in there. And I meant to dig it out, but that thought escaped me until just now.
Okay.
So that's so important mm-hmm. that we hand it on to those who are being initiated into the Catholic faith. Like, hey, you're going to need this, right? It's almost like, you know, in a soldier, right? You're handing over their rations. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, you're gonna need this food to survive. Mm-hmm. Here's the Lord's Prayer. You're gonna mm-hmm. need this.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, that's beautiful. I didn't know that. So in baptism and confirmation, the handing on of the Lord's Prayer signifies new birth into the divine life.
Oh, here's your word, patristics. It's in here.
It's in
this is why most of the patristic commentaries on the Our Father are addressed to catechumens and neophytes.
So those two words too. So catechumens and neophytes, like that sentence, yeah. right? If you are just learning about your Catholic faith, you don't know patristic, you don't know catechumens, you don't know neophytes. Mm-hmm. And that's what I was thinking about. Those might be important words to define.
To break it down.
Mm-hmm.
So patristic, right? Mm-hmm. So those are the fathers, right? Think about like a patriarch of a family is the father figure of the whole family. So the patristic commentaries are the fathers of the church, the earliest Christian writers. It's their commentaries on the Our Father. So they're either writing or they're preaching, commenting on the Our Father, unpacking it for certain people, giving its reasons, its whys, its whats, all of those sorts of things mm-hmm. to two particular groups of people,
mm-hmm.
to catechumens. So those are the ones who are preparing to be baptized, those who are preparing to be received into the church.
Mm-hmm.
And neophytes, those are the baby Christians, right? They're just little ones, just learn how to walk. And so explaining the Our Father, how to pray, that's really important.
Mm-hmm.
So most of the early church commentaries on the Our Father are addressed to those about ready to become Catholic, catechumens, mm-hmm. or those who are just Catholic, neophytes.
Mm-hmm. See that?
Quiz show for you.
Oh, golly.
How long are you a neophyte before you're no longer a neophyte?
I don't know.
Neither do I.
You don't know when that ends?
I don't. Okay. I don't.
Yeah.
Although maybe the right answer is till you get to heaven.
Right. On some level, we're all baby. What'd you call it? Baby Christians.
Still baby Christian. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. I, on a similar but very tangent topic, how long you talked about like the new priestly blessings, you know, how long can a newly ordained priest give a new priestly blessing? I really am wondering that. Do you know?
Yeah, you can give a blessing to anybody as long as you want. So yeah, if somebody came up and asked for a blessing, I could give a blessing.
I know that.
Right. Okay. And it would be just as efficacious as a new priest's blessing.
Absolutely. Thank you for right. defining that specifically. Right. Thank you.
But are you asking how long is it until it's weird to ask a new priest for a blessing?
Well, you specifically said like to kiss their hands after the blessings. Sure. How long can I do that without it's weird, without it being weird? That's what I'm asking.
1 year.
1 year. Okay.
Yep. Yeah.
I'm glad that we got specific about that.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay. 1 year. Yeah. Okay. Okay. And then don't ask to kiss the hands anymore because then it's weird.
There are weirder things, right?
Okay.
There are certain cultures where they kiss priests' hands regularly. Mm. It's not our culture, right? Germans, not our culture.
Sure.
But yeah. Okay. So typically what you do is you have a new priest and people come for a blessing. A lot of times people kneel, right? Mm-hmm. And then sometimes there's kind of an awkward moment when you're a new priest because you're like, do they want to kiss the hands or not? So you want to like present your hands if they do want to kiss them. But you don't want to like, hey, shove them in their face. So there's like a little interesting balance. Mm-hmm. I always like to just relieve the tension so they know that I'm about ready to kiss their hands. But I say, give me them paws.
Over him. Oh, you do not.
I have so many times.
Oh, my goodness. You do not.
Why are you surprised by that?
Why am I surprised by that? That is the real question.
Have I been
with
you so long and you do not know me?
Do not know me. Why am I surprised?
And anybody can use that if you want out in listener land. Give me dem paws.
Give me. Oh, my goodness. Okay. I don't know why I am surprised by that reality. Yeah. I don't. So I just simply said, I would love one of those new priestly blessings. And Father Sean said, it is appropriate that I kiss your hands. And I would like to do that so that they knew.
Sure. Yeah.
I will not be saying, give me them paws.
Your loss.
After this blessing, give me them paws. Oh, gosh. That's ridiculous, man. Okay. Shall we move on?
If you want.
2770. Oh my goodness. And this is like such the heart of everything we're talking about. So it's going to be a hard turn, but we're going there.
Yeah, we should turn.
In the Eucharistic liturgy, the Lord's Prayer appears as the prayer of the whole church and there reveals its full meaning and efficacy. Placed between the, help me out there.
Anaphora.
The Eucharistic prayer and the communion, the Lord's Prayer sums up on the one hand all the petitions and intercessions expressed in the movement of the epiclesis, and on the other, knocks at the door of the banquet of the kingdom, which sacramental communion anticipates. So we have this, think about like we're praying the Mass. We're not just showing up and going, we're praying the Mass. And so this Our Father is placed between this. On the one hand, it sums up all the petitions. The epiclesis is what? I guess you should define that.
Calling down the Holy Spirit upon the bread and wine so they get transformed into the body and blood of our Lord.
So we have that moment and that's happening and everything leading up to that. And then the other is knocking at the door of the banquet of the kingdom, which sacramental communion anticipates.
Right. So you think about it, it's like this hinge, right? It goes right in between. So the Eucharistic prayer is a prayer offered to the Father, right? Where we're offering the sacrifice of the Son to the Father and saying, hallowed be thy name, right? Like addressing the Father as the body of Christ, thy will be done, right? We're surrendering, we're offering our entire lives to the Father. And so it goes so perfectly at the end of that because it's a summary, it's a restating of that. But then is this bridge to Holy Communion when we say, give us this day our daily bread, right? We're about ready to be fed. So then it turns us towards offering to, in the Lord and his goodness gives us and to open our hearts to receive this super substantial bread is like I think the Greeks literally translated the super substantial bread, the flesh of the Son of Man.
I love that so much.
Isn't that great?
Mm. And just that knocking at the door of the banquet of the kingdom, which sacramental communion anticipates.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we are.
We're anticipating heaven.
Yeah.
Which gets to the next paragraph too.
Oh. In the Eucharist, the Lord's Prayer also reveals the
eschatological.
Man, really
that's like looking towards the end and the second coming of our Lord.
Yeah,
eschatology.
Right. Mm-hmm. It reveals that character of its petitions. It is the proper prayer of the end time, the time of salvation that began with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and will be fulfilled with the Lord's return. The petitions addressed to our Father, as distinct from the prayers of the Old Covenant, rely on the mystery of salvation already accomplished once for all in Christ crucified and risen. So this is the prayer of the end time, which we are in, right? Looking at salvation history, looking at the old the Old Testament, the Old Covenants, and this is the new and everlasting covenant in Christ. So we are in this quote unquote end time waiting for his second coming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And so we say thy kingdom come, right? Mm-hmm. Come Lord Jesus, the King of glory, mm-hmm. And come and mm-hmm. right and set everything right. So mm-hmm. that's part of the prayer, thy mm-hmm. kingdom come.
I think it's important to note too, like this end time is not like 2022. This was like since started Christ,
with the Holy Spirit descend upon the apostles mm-hmm. and until he mm-hmm. comes again.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So we're always in the end times.
Right.
Since Pentecost.
Right. Okay. From this unshakable faith springs forth the hope that sustains each of the seven petitions, which express the groanings of the present age, this time of patience and expectation during which it does not yet appear what we shall be. The Eucharist and the Lord's Prayer look eagerly for the Lord's return until he comes again. That's beautiful stuff, isn't
mm-hmm.
it? I feel like it got very poetic once we started talking about how the Our Father is in the Eucharist or in the liturgy.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Mm. So it anticipates the coming of the King until he comes again.
Mm-hmm.
So the groanings of the present age, right? So that's us longing for Christ to be the King and for it, everything to be manifest,
mm-hmm.
That we long for that perfect justice, perfect peace, perfect order.
Mm-hmm.
And so we pray for that to come.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord's Prayer is part of that anticipation
mm-hmm.
and the groanings of our heart that mm-hmm. longs for him to come.
And in patience and expectation.
Mm-hmm.
Remind me of like a pregnant woman. Like you're expecting, but also you have to be patient.
Right. Yeah.
Mm. And there's groanings too. No,
I'm just kidding.
Okay. Anything else on that?
I don't think so. All right. Beautiful.
Mm. Okay. The Our Father. So we'll cross that off. I'll do the in brief here. In response to his disciples' request, Lord, teach us to pray. Jesus entrusts them with the fundamental Christian prayer, the Our Father. The Lord's Prayer is truly the summary of the whole gospel, the most perfect of prayers. It is at the center of the scriptures. It is called the Lord's Prayer because it comes to us from the Lord Jesus, the master and model of our prayer. And the Lord's Prayer is the quintessential prayer of the church. It is an integral part of the major hours of the divine office and of the sacraments of Christian initiation, baptism, confirmation, and Eucharist. Integrated into the Eucharist, it reveals the eschatological character of its petitions, hoping for the Lord until he comes again. I nailed it that time.
I don't know about that.
What? I messed it up? Darn.
Let's throw
just
it.
Just crushed it.
Oh, that hit the frame.
That's what you get for not being nice to me. Just kidding.
That's it?
Yeah.
Worth it? Oh, conscience. Uh-oh. That is thick with irony. 1776 to 1794. You know, we talked about learning a thing or two this time. I wonder what next time. Gosh.
Whew. That is sick. With conscience. Whoopsie.
Yeah. Gosh.
Heard about that before.
Yeah. What is this conscience that we speak of?
Oh, shucks. Yeah. Okay. Well, I look forward to being with you again next week, Father Sean.
Feelings mutual.
And I will end with the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11, verses 1 until I really feel like we should stop. Okay. Sound good?
Sure.
Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. And he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation. And he said to them, which of you has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from with him, do not bother me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? or if he asks for an egg, we'll give him a scorpion. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?"